I trust already blessed this morning, and it's always refreshing to put everything else aside, put work aside, all join together and be assembled and lift our voices and sing and be taught together. It's just a blessing, isn't it? Could we kneel together to pray before we get started? Father in heaven, we thank you that you're with us. With great confidence, we have lifted our voices in singing to you. And just now we ask that as we open the Bible, we look at your word, we could be taught and instructed. We ask, Lord, that you would, in a very good way, give us good understanding of your word. We want to be taught. We want to understand. And so we ask, Lord, that you would help us. We share together that this word would become a part of us in a deeper way. Ask, Lord, that you'd give me clear thoughts and the ability to share. And we thank you for your grace here today. Lord, be with the young men as they travel. Lord, you know there's various young men traveling home from Ukraine. Lord, you know the various ones that are serving in different places. Be with Josh and Sherry in Tanzania. Lord, would you be with Rebecca, she's at Faith Mission Home. I ask the Lord that you would open the doors further for Alaska. I ask the Lord for you, for your guidance in regards to all that. I ask the Lord that you'd bless the work in Akron, and Lord, would you please lead and guide. Father, we're here. We ask that you'd help us be dedicated to serving you in whatever way that you open the doors for us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Has anyone ever heard someone referring to Sunday as a Sabbath? Quite a few have. Is that a correct understanding of Sunday? Isn't that interesting? It seems that at times when we look at subjects like this, while we gather every Sunday and we do have an understanding, and yet at times there's questions that come and things that maybe are unclear in our minds. Now, I want to just put some of just a couple of those things out here. I've heard that said various times over the years. I've heard that. Which brings a question: what does the Bible say about Sunday, or the Lord's Day, or Sabbath? What does it say? I have met and talked to people that have this persuasion. We meet people who say we are not under the law but under grace. Is it okay for us to work on Sunday just like any other day? I know people on a personal level who have the persuasion that Sunday morning is just like any other day. You know, you go to church and then you can go home and you can mow the lawn and you can get out the tractor and mow the fields and do the hay and all those kind of things. Is that a correct understanding of what Sunday ought to be? There are people who have that persuasion. There are people who go to Walmart, they go to restaurants, they go fishing, they go golfing, they play softball, and they do all kinds of things just like any other day. Is that a right persuasion of how Sunday ought to be observed? Is it? Or how should we view Sunday? How should we observe Sunday, the Lord's Day? And what does the Bible have to speak, or how does the Bible speak to us on the subject that we want to look at? In Bible times, now this is speaking about the Sabbath, not Sunday, but in Bible times, on the Sabbath day, if a man picked up sticks, and in fact, it was one of the first times that it happened, to my understanding there in with Moses, there was a man that went out and picked up sticks on the Sabbath day. And they brought him to Moses and said, "What should we do with this man?" And Moses put him in ward. And then Moses went to God and he said, "God, what do you want us to do with this man that worked on the Sabbath day, or he went and picked up sticks? Can you tell me what happened to that man?" They stoned him. They stoned this man who picked up sticks on the Sabbath day. Now, that was the Sabbath day. Whew! That's an interesting judgment that God brought on with the Sabbath. Now, I would like for this to be a bit interactive this morning. I'd like for us to have some input as we go on through here. But we want to start with the big picture and first look at Sabbath. We want to look at where all that started, where those concepts came from, and walk on down through. And so the first heading that I have here we want to look at, in Genesis, with God resting on the Sabbath, or God resting on the seventh day. Now, if you want to turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, we want to start there. Genesis chapter 2. So when we think of, in relating to, you know, today we have Sunday, the Lord's Day. We call it the Lord's Day. Prior to that, we had Sabbath, and there are some very clear commandments, you know, some time into it. But at the very beginning, the whole concept of setting a day aside out of normal work time, this is where it all started. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made." It says that he had 6 days. And can you just name some of the things that happened the first 6 days? What was God doing the first 6 days? Help me out. Creating the world. Stars, moon, stars, light. Dry land. The animals. The fish. The insects. Everything. He made Adam. All of those things he created, and he was working. Now, I don't know. Do you think God sweated those first 6 days? Do you think he was sweating? I doubt it. You know, later on they were, you know, God said, you know, "You're going to sweat. You're going to work hard." But I don't think he was sweating, but God worked. And then on the seventh day, God rested. Now, did God need to rest? I don't think so either. I don't think God rested. But very obviously, there is a very clear, there's something that God was establishing, and it's a principle. If you look at experiments that people, that men have done throughout the world, restaurants that are open 7 days don't sell more than if they're only open 6 days. Men and animals who go for 6 days and then they have a day of rest and then they travel again, men and animals are not able to do more in 7 days. Over an extended period of time, they're not able to do more in 7 days than they are in 6 days a week. Experiments have proven that. God has there's a principle that God established early on that there is to be a day of rest, a day that is set aside from, okay, what did God stop doing? his work, you know, his activities. God stopped, and the seventh day he rested. And so God rested on the seventh day. It says that, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. He rested. Now, it's interesting that there is a span of time that there wasn't the law as we know it later on. Now, I would like to think that they did through the next number of 100 years, I would like to think that they kept the seventh day. But really, there's sort of a vagueness through there. It doesn't say, can anyone tell me how long it was from creation to the time of the Exodus and when the law came? Can anyone tell me roughly how many years that was? Anyone guess? 2,500? Yeah, you're pretty close. Around 2,666 years. That's a rough number, but yeah, around 2,600 years. That's a pretty long span where there's technically no law. Now, there was law. I'm not sure. Scripture does, you know, it's pretty vague in there as to what all happened. But then there's some clear establishments that were made at that point. So it was around 1446 BC, so close to 1500 years before Christ, or 2600 years after creation. It was around that time. There was the situation there in Exodus. And now turn with me, and we want to just read that. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16. Now, this was actually before the law came. God was speaking directly to Moses, and this was just a short time, not sure how long, is just before the law, because just a couple chapters later is when the law actually came. But in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 23, it says this, and he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said, tomorrow is rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe ye that ye will seethe. And that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. Now in the context, what was happening here is there was the Exodus, manna started coming, God was feeding the people, and when he started doing that, he told them, every morning you pick up, you know, you go out, you gather your manna, but on the sixth day, you gather enough for the following day. And on the next day, on the seventh day, rest. Don't go out and pick up more. This is what it says. Verse 24, and they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. For today ye shall find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. So there's a clear commandment given. There won't be any manna coming down. Don't go out looking for any. It is a Sabbath specifically unto the Lord. Now, I don't know if you follow that terminology. There's a Sabbath to the Lord. Okay, it's not just resting, but it's, you know, it terms it as a day of rest, but it says it's a Sabbath unto the Lord. In Exodus 20, verse 8, As a part of the law, it says this, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, it is interesting how that is observed even today with Jewish people. There's a tremendous amount of regulation as to what you do and don't do. Back in the day, you couldn't light a fire, and so today, Jewish people that observe the law, they don't turn switches on and off. You go into a hotel and you use the elevator. They actually have Sabbath day elevators, and the Sabbath day elevators have been turned on the day before, and they go one at a time, and they stop at every floor. And so if it comes around, you step in, and you just walk in, and you wait till you come to the right floor. You don't have to push any buttons, but that's a part of their observing the Sabbath day. There's a lot of observances in regards to the Sabbath day that they have taken to great levels, even as to what kind of pans and, you know, how they have to be washed. And there's, you know, it's unbelievable the amount of detail that the Jewish people use in observance of this one command, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, I have another heading here that says, is Sunday the Sabbath? Is Sunday the Sabbath? And specifically, I'd like to just make a clear statement. Sunday is not Sabbath. Can you tell me what day the Sabbath day is? Saturday. The Sabbath day is on a Saturday. You know, you work, and on the seventh day, you rest. But there seems to be confusion. Well, why is it, or what is it? Why do we get together on Sunday, or what is the difference between Sabbath day? If this is Sunday, do we keep Sunday like the Sabbath? Are we under the law? Do we keep it like the, you know, like Saturday the Sabbath? Is that what God intended us to do? Those are good questions. But I'd like to just make it clear, Sunday is not the Sabbath. The Sabbath is Saturday. Now, I would like for us to consider, my next heading that I have here is, the Sabbath is fulfilled in Christ. The Sabbath is fulfilled in Christ. Now, if you look at, and you ask the question, well, what changed? What makes us here today that we have switched and we no longer, quote, observe the Sabbath? Why do we no longer, quote, keep the Sabbath? That's a good question. And I think that's where some of the confusion comes. And I like to maybe ask a further question. Why is it when there was laws of sacrificing animals, can you tell me what the sacrificing was? Why were animals sacrificed back under the law? Can you tell me? As a sacrifice to sin, to cover the people's blood. Is that right? Why don't we sacrifice today anymore? Why have we quit sacrificing today? Anyone? Christ is the ultimate sacrifice. So because of the ultimate sacrifice, now all of a sudden we have the great sacrifice. Is that right? We have the great sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ. And so we no longer go back and sacrifice like Abraham did, like Moses did, like the children of Israel did. We no longer do that. There has been that was established, and then there was a fulfillment, and now because of that fulfillment, the fulfillment is Christ. We want to look at some scriptures, but I would like to just say that in a very similar way, Scripture says that the Sabbath was a shadow of Christ. The Sabbath was a shadow of things to come. In Christ, there was a fulfillment of the Sabbath. And the Sabbath rest that we only get when we enter into that rest with Christ. So our rest that we have today in Christ Jesus, the Sabbath was a picture of all that, Scripture says. And we're going to look at some of that. And I'm going to suggest that at the very core, that's the reason why we no longer observe Sabbath day. And why we've shifted to the Lord's Day. There's been a shift to the Lord's Day away from Sabbath because of that. Now, I want to read in Exodus chapter 31, if you want to turn there with me. Exodus 31. But I would like to point out here that when the law was given and the law was established, the law in regards to the Sabbath day was specifically modeled after what? What was it? Okay, the Sabbath day when it was given to the people. The law specifically in regards to the Sabbath was modeled at what happened, what God did when he rested. I don't know if you follow that. When the law was given, the Sabbath day specifically, when that law was established, that was modeled after what God did. God worked and then he rested. Now the people work and then they rest. I want to read that here. Exodus chapter 31, we're going to start reading in verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Here he said, this Sabbath that I'm put in place here, this is between you and me, and it's something, well actually he says that in your generations, that ye may know that the Lord doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among the people. Verse 15, 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest holy unto the Lord. Whosoever does any work in the Sabbath... Whosoever does any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout your generation for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of the Lord forever. Now he goes on and he makes this statement. He says, For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. This is the reason. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. He's saying, I'm putting this into place because of what I did, and I'm making this as a sign between you and me. That's interesting. Very interesting. Now, turn with me to Hebrews in chapter 4. Hebrews in chapter 4. So there's a continuing journey here that we're moving on into. With the concept of the Sabbath being something that was modeled after God and what God did. Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 4 it says, "For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works." He goes on and says, "And this place again, if they shall enter into my rest." Now look at this concept. He's talking about us. He refers to the Sabbath, and he's talking about how us, we as believers, how we enter into rest with him. That's the ultimate. This whole Sabbath concept is us entering into a rest with him. He goes on and he says, "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." If Jesus had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." Verse 10, "For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his." Okay, do you follow? This whole concept of Sabbath day, it's a picture, it's a type, and it's a shadow of us entering into rest with him. Now, I'd like to just ask the question, when you became converted and you became born again by the Spirit of God, did you enter into a rest with God? Praise the Lord, right? And does God want us to have continual entering into that rest? So it's not just back then, but he wants us to have a continued entering and walking in that rest. That's it. That is the very core of the Sabbath rest. Now I want to look at Colossians. Turn with me to the book of Colossians in chapter 2. Colossians in chapter 2, we want to look at a couple of verses here. Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to start reading verse 13. Colossians 2, verse 13, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come." It specifically mentions Sabbath there, and he says it is a shadow of things to come. Is that right, Paul? It's a shadow of things to come. Now, the last, verse 17, I want someone to finish that phrase for me. Verse 17, "which are a shadow of things to come," and then who can give me that last phrase? "But the body is of Christ." So the real thing is Christ. That's the real thing. And so in a very similar way, In a very similar way that we quit sacrificing, we no longer observe Sabbath like we used to. Okay? In a very similar way. Christ, we have entered into that rest, and Christ is that rest, and we enter into that, and Christ is the fulfillment of Sabbath. Now, I would like to take it a step farther and just have some consideration about what is the Lord's Day. What is that concept? Why do we observe that? What is happening with that? Now, the term specifically comes from, actually, can anyone tell me where the term comes from? Act. Okay. Can anyone else help me out? No? Where does the term the Lord's Day come from? There you go. That term specifically comes from John, the Apostle John, when he was out on the island of Patmos. Now, the scripture doesn't say that he was exiled. History would indicate that he was exiled. But John was out on the island of Patmos, and that's when he got the revelation, what we have as revelations. And according to history, he was exiled. And there he was, all by himself out there on the island of Patmos, and it says that he was in the Spirit. He was in the Spirit. Now, Brother Cornelius, are you ever in the Spirit? Hey, you know, we're communicating with God and we're in the Spirit, right? We have this connection going on and we're in the Spirit. Where's this connection going on? And that day, he was in the Spirit. When was he in the Spirit? On the Lord's Day. Now, it doesn't specify what that is. Okay. We want to look at some other scriptures. I like to propose that very possibly that was Sunday. There are some people that argue that and say, well, that's Sabbath day. Okay. But the term, the Lord's Day, is used here. Okay. The specific term, this is where the term comes from, the Lord's Day. It says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He was in the Spirit. And when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, it says that he heard a voice. And you have the complete revelation as we see today. It came out of him being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. It came out of that. We'll read here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and your companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of the Lord and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. That's where that term comes from. I would like to suggest, very possibly, that was what we would say Sunday today. Now let's take a little closer look here. I want to take you to some of the activities and things that were done on the first day of the week. In other places where it was referenced, the term was used the first day of the week. Some of that first day of the week happened, their midnight was different, or their days started at a different time than we do today. Can anyone tell me when Sunday started today? When did Sunday start? Or at what time of the day does Sunday start? For us now. But for us now. 12 o'clock midnight. But for them back there, when did the first day of the week start? Or when was that transition of the day? sundown. So when you read that transition in Bible times, that transition was at sundown. It wasn't at midnight like we have it today. And so when you read different scriptures, keep that in mind. But I'd like to just specifically point out here that some of the activities that I want to put out here, these things happened on the first day of the week. And what is the first day of the week? Sunday, right? The first day of the week for us. It's Sunday. Now, one of the reasons, you know, sometimes you hear people say this term. They say, we're celebrating the Lord's resurrection on every Sunday. Have you ever heard that? That's a correct thinking. It was on Sunday, or the first day of the week, that Jesus rose from the dead. Right? The first day of the week. Sundays is when Jesus rose from the dead. So for us, Sunday, we're celebrating. So, okay, if you follow this concept, Jesus is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. And so everything we're doing is coming back to Christ, right? It's all coming back to Christ. Jesus rose from the dead the first day of the week. The Holy Spirit was given the first day of the week. Pentecost, okay, the Spirit of God came down the first day of the week, Sunday. Paul gathered with the believers on the first day of the week to break bread. Okay, in saying what I am, I'm not saying that they just instantaneously switch from Saturday to Sunday. That's not what I'm saying. As Jewish believers, actually there was a lot of controversy in those days about that. But consider with me, these are things that the early church, the apostles, these are things that they did on the first day of the week. It says, Paul gathered with the believers on the first day of the week to break bread. On the first day of the week, when the church met, they were instructed to gather the alms together. They were instructed to gather the alms together. Revelation 1:10. John refers to the Lord's Day, which we just looked at that. Justin Martyr around AD 150. So how long is AD 150 from when the apostles would have died? So it was about 50 years after the Apostle John passed away. Justin Martyr in AD 150 described the Christians meeting on Sunday or on the first day of the week. Justin Martyr referred to that. In his writings, he refers to it. That's 50 years after John was gone. He referred, and this was also before Constantine making some of those changes. It was prior to that. Okay, so I don't know if you follow. You follow the concept? There's Jesus is the fulfillment. Here are various things that they did on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Now the question comes, if we are no longer under Sabbath day law, then we somehow must be free to go work on Sunday just like any other day. Am I right? We're not under the law anymore. We're not under the law, so we have to be free to just do whatever. I would like to this morning put out some principles, some concepts for us to consider. All right? Now, I'm not sure how to say this. We really like principles and concepts, and no one likes to say, thus saith the Lord, this is a line that I draw. No one likes that, right? I've got some concepts for us to consider. I think none of us here this morning would be comfortable if you'd see me out with my big old bush hog and, you know, the skid loader and out there, you know, doing some big project. Or the other day, you know, we had some, you know, some big digging going on in our yard and you know, all kinds of stuff. I think if I go do some of that stuff, you'd come to me and say, "Mark, what do you think you're doing?" You know, you wouldn't be comfortable with that. Why is that? Why aren't you comfortable? I'd like to just have us consider some principles here. Today we meet people who say we're not under law but under grace. Is it okay for us to work on Sunday just like any other day? Is it okay for us to go to places of business? Is it okay for us to go to restaurants? Is it okay for us to do just, you know, where are those lines? Where are those lines? Activities. Where are those lines? I'd like to ask that question. Where are those lines? I have three primary principles that I would like to put out here for us to consider. And if you walk through this whole concept, we started back in Genesis, right? God very clearly, he worked 6 days, and then he, what did he do? He rested. Now, do you think that changed? I don't think so. I don't think so. God clearly worked 6 days and then he rested. I would like for us to consider that there is normal activities that we do every day of the week, and then there's one day that we stop our everyday activities and we rest. I don't know if you follow that. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to stop our everyday activities? What does it mean to do that? And this term that we're putting onto today, Sunday, the Lord's Day, this is the Lord's Day. And if you follow the whole principle, there's 6 days to work, and then there is to be a day of rest, a day that's set aside that we refrain from our normal activities. We stop. We stop our normal activities. Okay, do you follow the concept? Okay, that seems to be a very clear principle, right? We stop our normal 6 day activities. We stop those. It seems to me that when John was out on the Isle of Patmos, he was obviously by himself, but there was something very specific going on that day when it says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And there is something special going on that day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Okay, so the first principle that I like to put out, stop what you are doing the other 6 days. This is the Lord's Day. Stop your other activities. Stop your other activities. Dads, you sort through what those other activities are. Okay, stop the other activities and make this the Lord's Day. Secondly, a second principle that I like to put out here is meet with the church. Meet with the church. Meet with the assembly. In fact, in Hebrews it says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We all know people, right? We know people who have chosen to withdraw themselves from the assembly of the saints, right? There's people who withdraw themselves from the assembly. They no longer gather on the Lord's day. So the second principle is meet with the church, meet with the assembly, meet with the church, and be taught. Be taught in the Word. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. So stop what you're doing the other 6 days. This is the Lord's day. Stop the other things that you're doing. This is the Lord's day. Number two, meet with the assembly of the saints. Meet with the church. Number three, rest. Right, rest. Rest and focus on God. The third principle. Rest and focus on God. Hebrews 4, verse 4 says, "For he spake in a certain place, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works." I'd like to just put that out. Rest. I don't know, I sometimes wonder, have to preach on Sunday. Sometimes I don't get to rest as much as some people do. Maybe you have to catch up on Monday from the hard work of preaching and laboring Sundays. But anyhow, how do you follow the point? The point here is rest from your normal labors. Rest from your normal labors. Can you give me the three principles? Give me the three principles. Stop from your normal activities, number one. Number two, assemble with the saints. Number three, rest and focus on God. Those are principles that the Bible is very clear on, right? Now, dads, how do we do that? How do we do that? And by the way, I just got those three. You probably have some more. After we're done here, you probably have some more principles that go beyond what I put out here. But I just have it pretty basic here. I just have it pretty basic. I mean, when we open it up here in just a little bit, I mean, you give me some more, okay? All right, you give me some more. But those are three very simple, practical principles to observe the Lord's day. Dads, I think we should consider those for our families and how and what we do on the Lord's day. The Lord bless you all.